That's right. It's time for Lightning Thursdays here on WTZQ Radio. Lightning Thursdays featuring Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The lightning is on the streets, it is in your mailboxes, and it is now on the radio. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Thursday to you.
Good morning. Excuse me. Thank you for inviting me. Nice to be here for Lightning Thursday.
Absolutely. Is it me, or is this an especially thick edition of the Hendersonville Lightning?
Just about to strain my back.
A little heavier.
To carry my usual sack of four or five of these in here.
Yes.
Because it contains, drum roll.
Yes.
Wait for it. The annual, eighth annual, Mark, Summer Guide Fun. Summer Fun and Festival Guide.
That's what it is. Excellent. The annual Summer Fun Festival Guide. I love it. This is one of those keepers all summer long, right?
It is. Has a shelf life from now through Labor Day. Has a write-up about everything. We can talk about it in a bit if you'd like to. Everything from live musical performances to parades to the many, many festivals we have here in the festival capital of the world. And just about everything else you can think of in the way of outdoor recreation, from parks and hiking to fishing to bicycling to all kinds of fun stuff here in the county.
Well, fantastic. What do you say we hit the hard news first, and then we'll come back after our break and focus on our summer guide? Can we start with something, Bill, that we, of course, used in our local news today, too? The 191 county commissioners and have endorsed the 191 widening. Did I dream that headline, Bill, or is it really?
No,
happened?
That is what we call news.
Yeah,
You think about it, because of the trend, the pattern of it, if not outright. Outright action to kill a project, which the bright shining example of that, of course, is the Balfour Parkway, something that, as we've talked about ad nauseum on this radio show, was on the plans going back to, really, in some form or other, as a bypass, probably the 1960s, but officially on plans since the mid to late 90s, you might say, after the death of the Clear Creek connector.
Yeah.
Another project closer into the town that would have been a bypass and connection from US 64 to I-26 to US 25 and then to NC 191. Then you had the Balfour connector, the Balfour Parkway, and then all of a sudden, just about 1 year ago, you no longer had the Balfour Parkway. The county commissioners facing a huge homeowner, really, mostly homeowner, some private property owner, just vacant landowners and a few businesses, but mostly uprising from property owners and homeowners associations, basically killed it. They recommended that the French Broad MPO kill it. The French Broad MPO said, yes, we kill it. We say to you, the North Carolina Board of Transportation, that y'all kill it, and the North Carolina Board of Transportation. We covered all this. It was in the Lightning. Even went to Raleigh to cover that final nail in the coffin of the Balfour Parkway and killed it back, I think, last September. So that's dead. Something like the Canoga widening is not dead, but has gotten more and more narrow, lost the bike lanes, lost most of the sidewalks, but it survived. We know about the Highland Lake Road. We know about White Street. A lot of these have been really strongly opposed, and no exception to that has been the NC 191 widening. Just to recap, a four-lane, and this next word is something that people really don't like about it, a four-lane divided highway,
right.
Not a five-lane with a continuous center turn lane, but four-lane divided, does go through many, many subdivisions with the homes containing really hundreds of homes. So you had from those homeowners in those homes and their very active associations that's been more than a year ongoing, showing up at the county commissioner meetings and say, please do as you did to Balfour, because in fact, by killing the Balfour Parkway, you probably reduced the need to do anything about NC 191. That was their logic. But the NCDOT wasn't buying it. They said, please kill it like you did the Balfour Parkway, or just make it a three lane, or just wait and see and do new projections. NCDOT DOT really wasn't buying that. We heard that from the presentation yesterday morning.
Right.
With, the Board of Commissioners, and ultimately the county commissioners sort of reversing this trend of going along with a big uprising over a road improvement, said, nah, we think we're to the point now, if we keep saying no to these projects, and in this case, if we say no to this one, we probably won't see it. We're sitting here, we commissioners are in our 60s and 70s, we won't see this improvement in our lifetime if we say no now. And so they basically said, yes, there wasn't a vote. There wasn't, we say in the headline, endorsed. So that's because the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, Grady Hawkins, said, well, it appears it's the consensus of the board for y'all. And it was the top engineer in all of southwestern North Carolina, Brian Birch, who he was speaking to. So y'all go ahead with NC-191 project. And so it's on the fairly near term, certainly in the context of road projects of this magnitude, our fairly near future, with right-of-way acquisition to start in October. And the plans are for the NCDOT to let a contract in June of 2022. Lots to that. The bridges over the French Broad River and that four lane divided.
And there is truly something to be said for both sides. I know certainly the side against it. One of their complaints or problems is, come on, you're just now spending some time putting a turn lane right there at Rugby School. Now you're going to just pave over all of that, almost as if that wasn't done. So I certainly can understand that side.
Was it? Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. That's one of the sure there are. There are points. There's always points against these roads projects. And again, even the thing about the Balfour Parkway, although the NCDOT does respond to that and says, well, no, every project by our rule and really state law has to be a standalone project, and this did not depend on channeling a bunch of new traffic from, let's just say, I-26 to 25 to NC-191. The NC-191 widening project and the need for this as a congestion and safety project was not linked directly to the Balfour Parkway. As for that project you just mentioned, that just in the past very few weeks has been, I think, completed. It's got all the road markings and everything. I've been through there several times recently, to and from Mills River, and just yesterday to make a picture out there. What Brian Birch said directly about that was that, yes, we did do that. That need for that project was identified. It was coming through the pipeline, and it really predated the NC-191 project being on local and regional wish lists, but it predated our knowledge here at the NCDOT that it would make it to the top of the list and be funded.
Right.
So then he said when they saw that NC-191 widening project had been funded, then they did kind of a scale down. He directly talked about this. You'll read more about it when we go into more detail about his answer. But he said, we did a scale down version of that safety improvement project for Rugby Middle School and West Henderson High School, but that's not everything we needed to do out there. When we didn't want to buy right away twice, we didn't want to come to a property owner and say we need this much right away for the school improvement project, and then come back 6 months later and say, oh, by the way, we need more. Now we need 5 more feet of your yard.
Yeah.
So for a variety of reasons, and we'll get into more detail. We're going to have more detail of that meeting in HendersonvilleLightning.com and in the print issue, but this story covers really what happened. The news of yesterday that we started with, commissioners said, no, thank you. We don't think we will kill the NC-191 widening project.
And to touch on the safety aspect side of it, Brian Birch did say that Highway 191 had higher than average accidents for North Carolina roadways.
Oh yeah, it's no doubt it has higher. It has higher the incidents of accidents, congestion, width of the road, how much shoulder there is. All of these are factors. He explained in great detail how a project is scored and gets to the top of the list to make it to be a funding priority, as this one was.
And one last point to make also, commission, a point that Commission Chair
Grady Hawkins.
Grady Hawkins, thank you, mentioned when they tried to compare it to the Balfour Parkway. He said, that's apples and oranges. Balfour Parkway is a brand new road taking down houses. This is simply the widening of another road. It's just you can't really compare the two.
No, and that was significant when we actually heard that from Grady Hawkins in an interview on Tuesday for a story that we had in advance of Wednesday's meeting of the Board of Commissioners. And when he told the Lightning that these are apples and oranges, it sounded as if he was signaling, which I thought was significant. We reported before the meeting that at least Grady Hawkins was leaning for support for the NC 191 project. And there was question raised by county commissioners, but not to the extent that those questions reflected true opposition
right.
to the plan.
Before we go to our break, of course, we want to come back and talk about your summer guide and a few other things in the news. But let's touch on your story. Again, the story we were just talking about is right now on HendersonvilleLightning.com, and we'll see that more in the print version a little bit later. So let's get to this week's Lightning, your headline right here. Fire districts, school repairs likely to ratchet up tax rates.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is actually just, as I just mentioned, as the Lightning is prone to do, sometimes we have a story that kind of forecasts, in this case, very accurately, what might happen. Of course, this story, we have to close all of our print edition stories on middle of the afternoon on Tuesday before we send our pages to the press, and we get it back here so it's on the street first light on Wednesday. And this story really forecasted almost exactly what did happen at the meeting the following morning, yesterday morning, when the county commissioner said, okay, we have this recommended budget from the county manager, Steve White, of a 51.1 cent revenue neutral tax rate, recalling that the current rate is 56.5 cents per $100 valuation.
Uh-huh.
And we had the 2019 every 4 year revaluation countywide. Appreciation of real property averaging about 18%, be a lot more than that for some homeowners, like we've talked about. You got a nice home in a nice neighborhood that was valued at $250,000, a standard 3.2. That's gone up, let's say, a lot to 3.25 because that house is much in demand at,
uh-huh.
at that price range. Okay, we've covered all that with the revaluation. Left out, however, of Manager Wyatt's recommendation was a pretty big stack of requests totaling a lot of money from the Henderson County school system and Blue Ridge Community College.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other shoe to drop tax-wise did drop yesterday morning when Steve Watt came up with, it sounded like a very well-thought-out, reasonable plan to cover, again, let's talk about that four-year cycle, raise enough money in a four-year cycle year to year to cover. And I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I think it's roughly $20 to $24 million worth of, these are not new construction, but major repairs,
right.
major renovations in the school system. And I think roughly the same, we'll have more detail on this, of course, and I think roughly the same amount for BRCC. The amounts on the tax rate, I can more easily tell you what that is for sure. It takes just about all that nickel tax decrease that everyone was going to get.
Uh-huh.
Well, it kind of takes that back and goes 3 cents to the county schools and 2 cents to BRCC to make this happen. So that sits, you ask, well, what's the status of that? That sits on the table right now. Commissioners heard it. They absorbed it. They acknowledged it. They seemed to understand it. They didn't really have all that many questions. It was really very well presented by Steve White, and they said, okay, fine, we'll think about it. And they will come back in probably the first meeting of June. I think it's June 3rd, when they'll also be a hearing on the budget at that time. People can come to the courthouse and talk for or against it. So that's on the table.
So if you're talking about that extra 5 cents, 3 cents going to Henderson County Public Schools, 2 cents going to Blue Ridge Community College, how are we covering what the fire districts are asking for?
And, oh, very good point. And we got your handy and useful patented lightning spreadsheet, a chart that shows exactly what's happening there. Now, that, and that also is pretty much a done deal because we forecasted this by reporting, finding what the fire district budget requests were and what the current tax rate is. And 8 out of the 12... we used to call them volunteer fire departments, but now many of them are paid, and they're fire and rescue. And keep in mind, they're not just fire trucks going to a fire.
Right.
They're going about three out of four times they roll, they're probably going to a medical emergency, a car crash, as we say, maybe even a lost hiker, power lines down, they're helping you in the snow. They do a lot. I mean, they do a lot. As first responders, they often are first, even before Henderson County Ambulance, with EMTs on board, often paramedics on board. So they need the money, they say, and they are asking for the money. And so this is not a case where they're saying they want to go a little bit above the revenue neutral rate. They want to go above current rate. 8 out of 10 have a proposed tax increase, now pretty well endorsed, if not officially by a vote, at least by the county commissioner saying, yeah, looks good to us. They have a lot of needs. So those amounts in fire districts, you can see in the chart here, it's going to be anywhere from a half cent to, I think, Mills River is at 2 cents. Mills River is 9 cents to 11 cents. Green River is at 8 cents to 11 cents. Girton is one of the few that stays as it is, 12 and a half cents. Fletcher, 11 and a half cents, stays the same. But Etowah Horseshoe, 10 and a half cents to 12 cents. And then we have those fire districts' current budget. We have their requested 2020 budget, and we have the percent increase. And one last point there, about one other step that happened Tuesday that we also cover in here and went to visit briefly on Tuesday afternoon is something called, it's called the FRAC, the Fire Rescue Advisory Committee, that does review. You say, what is the oversight? Who looks at this and says, okay, well, do you really need that fire truck? Do you need that ladder truck? Do you need a new fire station? Do you need new radios, whatever it might be, new turnout gear? They look at all that. They're the experts. And then that does go on and did go on that night, Tuesday night, to the county commissioners, for the county commissioners to pray over and bless or not. And that's where we pretty much stand now, as the fire district budgets are not likely to change. So when you get your lightning and you can look up your fire tax and in your fire district and see how much that's going to go up. And again, let's make the point that that will go up by the rate. And so that's the new rate, slightly higher on your on your property, which might be either slightly or quite a bit higher.
Wow.
On your value.
Wow. All right. That full budget story is in print right now in your Hendersonville Lightning, which is on the streets and in your mailboxes as we speak. When we come back with Lightning Thursdays, we're going to talk about the Summer Fun and Festival Guide and some more news that is local right here in our community. You're listening to Lightning Thursdays on WTZQ.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
This is Caroline from WAG, a unique pet boutique. The food that you feed your animals has a direct correlation to their health and longevity. Did you know that your pet's diet directly affects their behavior too? At WAG, we can help you tailor a meal plan designed around your pet's specific needs. We can order quality, healthful foods for your dog or cat. Remember, just like you, each of your pets is an individual. Let us at WAG help you find the perfect match for your four-legged family member. WAG, a unique pet boutique, 231 North Main Street, downtown Hendersonville.
The 305 Lounge and Eatery, right next door to historic Mike's on Main, home of Aubrey's Famous Wings and Sauces, Buffalo, Mango Habanero, Teriyaki, Bourbon, Sweet Chili, Wangy Tangy Mild Barbecue, and
Pindo Reaper.
Enjoy wings and the full Mike's on Main menu at the 305. April is Autism Awareness Month, and the 11th annual Blue Bucket campaign raises funds for exceptional children classrooms in our public schools. Help fill the blue buckets for autism at the 305 Lounge and Eatery and Mike's on Main in downtown Hendersonville. In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301.
And we're back with Lightning Thursdays here on The Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, before we get to our summer guide, which is in this week's Lightning, let's touch on a few other news stories. The Lightning is always known for very clever play on words in its headlines. But here's a headline that's not necessarily a play on words or clever, but boy, it's a great it's bittersweet.
Yep.
Chuck McGrady hopes to enjoy public land he helped save.
Yeah, and this is not really our creation. It's Chuck McGrady's, Representative McGrady's own characterization of kind of where he is. I think he's 66, kind of where he is in life. He may be a little bit tired. I think it's probably more accurately, I think he would admit to being tired of it. He rose really quickly in the North Carolina legislature. And of course, we're talking about his retirement, his announcement early Monday morning, actually, that he would not seek. I think that would have been a sixth term. And instead, saying that he never got the chance to enjoy the public lands he helped save, Representative McGrady announced he's leaving public life to hike and camp in the woods. And I'm sure he'll visit some state and national forest and national parks that were there back to Teddy Roosevelt or years and years and many, many, many years ago that he had nothing to do with conserving. But there's no doubt in ways that have been public and non-public in a lifetime, whether it's Sierra Club leadership, National Sierra Club presidency in the early, I think it was 1990s, through his work even today in the North Carolina legislature and to some degree probably nationally. He's helped save through policy and through some of his own donations, for that matter.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of land, made lots of nice wooded forest, whatever you want to say, wilderness, saved and open to the public and wants to enjoy it. He has been in public life here in the county, right here in the village of Flat Rock, lived in Claremont, the neighborhood across from Kenmure, and when he first moved to town. I think that was before he moved out to his camp, Falling Creek. So in the mid-1990s, you'll recall, he served on the Flat Rock Village Council.
Yep.
Then on the Henderson County Planning Board, really became a strong voice just on the planning board, not an elected position, but an appointed one for countywide zoning. And his position on that and where we were, we talked about the public and the activism of the public a lot. And the public was aligned with him on that at that point, with a lot of development concerns and different things popping up that people said, why is there not a rule against that? Because it was the frontier. I used to call it editorially the sovereign republic of Western North Carolina. It just didn't have any use for zoning, and private property rights were more ascendant back then, I think, than they are now. And that helped him win election. He actually beat Grady Hawkins in that, I think it was 2002 election, for the Board of Commissioners. And then, of course, when Carolyn Justice retired in 2010, Chuck McGrady was elected to the House and has really had, as I mentioned, he rose really quickly and has had an influential and effective career as a state representative. Not an ideological figure at all, but one that is a kind of a policy. He's a non-practicing lawyer. He really knows environmental policy, but he's branched out to work on lots of other things, including his attempt right now to do a pretty major overhaul reform of state laws on beer, wine, and liquor that's getting a lot of attention.
And let's face it, he was just one of a couple of strong politicians who really helped Raleigh understand that Western North Carolina didn't end just this side of Charlotte.
Well, exactly right. We'll look back, I think, at the era from 2010 maybe to about right now. And as Chuck McGrady says, we've got, you know, an up-and-coming person, if he stays there, and he seems to incline to, in Senator Chuck Edwards. And Chuck McGrady says that's one reason he feels more comfortable in leaving now than 2 years ago or 4 years ago. But make no mistake, you're right. When we had State Senator Tom Apodaca, almost, you might say, the third most powerful person in state politics at that point, behind the Senate leader, Phil Berger, and certainly ahead of the governor, with a veto-proof majority up until the 2018 election, that we had Senator Apodaca in the Senate as rules chairman and a very powerful figure there, and Chuck McGrady in the House, who was in the room, as we like to say, with the House leadership on all matters of budget, certainly the environment, now liquor, certainly was the key figure to take the lead on the Raise the Age bill that put the lots more crimes as juvenile crimes versus adult crimes in the state of North Carolina. That was something that the state, we had this in the a profile of McGrady a while back, that the state Supreme Court justice called Chuck McGrady and asked him if he would take the lead on that. So Chuck McGrady was an effective legislator, was known as an effective legislator. So yeah, we'll, and when you mention that kind of high watermark of our power, we're looking at some downgrade from that, just because we'll have two rookies, two freshmen now in the state house, Coda Henson in that seat of Transylvania County, Southern Henderson County, and Polk County, has chosen not to run for re-election, and now Chuck McGrady won't be running for re-election. Who will run for Chuck McGrady's seat, you might ask? We don't know for sure. The great mentioners, of course, are mentioning Tim Moffitt, who's the former state representative from Asheville, who's moved into the Barwalla area of Henderson County, has property there and lives there. And there could possibly be other names. Almost surely, I think, will be other names. And I think there'll be other names aside from the already announced candidacy of Polk County Commission Chairman Jake Johnson for the Coda Henson seat. That, in particular, I think, we'll see more names there, because the folks in Transylvania County have always considered, or at least in my time here in the past 25 years or 30 years, kind of consider the House District 113 as a Transylvania seat. It's been held by somebody from Transylvania since at least the early 1990s, and I'm not sure how far back before that.
Well, just keep attuned to your lightning. You'll continue to dog the political stories, of course. A couple of other things we want to touch on. Of course, Hennesville Lightning, much like WTZQ Radio, all about hyper-local. And here on page 41, 42, and 43, great pictures from the local Kiwanis Club honoring the coaches who instilled character and honoring our Kiwanis All-Star athletes of Henderson County.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to the Sparks family, and we picture Amber McCleary, Brenda Sparks, McCleary's daughter, and Brenda Sparks, McCleary, and John Whitmire, who was one of the leaders of the program and is a well-respected retired coach himself, congratulating Sue Moon for the Ricky Sparks Spirit Award winner. You can read all about that in Hennesville Lightning and HennesvilleLightning.com. And B.J. Lauder, his father had some sort of health issue. James Jim Pop Lauder was not able to be there, but was honored as well with the Lou Ann Morgan Leadership Award. Both coaches really, they're known for their coaching, they're known for their athletes, what their athletes do on the field, but known even more for being really mentors and builders of character of the youngsters that they had at Hendersonville High School and North Henderson High School mainly.
Well, Bill, thanks to Hendersonville Lightning for shining a light on those very well-deserved awards. The Summer Fun and Festival Guide is out, and of course it starts, Bill, with tonight, Rhythm and Brews, opening night for Rhythm and Brews, the 2019 season.
And what a change. We were just talking about it a while ago in the break from 1 year ago with that torrential downpour, the mudslides, the really catastrophic weather situation that was happening on this very day, or what would have been this very opening day of Rhythm and Brews 1 year ago. Forecast tonight, like we've been having, dry, a little bit crisp air under, under clear skies. It's going to be gorgeous. So get out there for, what is it? Not the Broadway.
The broadcast.
The broadcast.
The broadcast. And of course, you got the changes we have. We've got more breweries involved. We've got more more eateries involved. We've got, it starts at 5:30 now. We have two bands instead of three. So lots of good positive changes, and it's going to be interesting to see tonight. So that's just part of it. Well, of course, you got Garden Jubilee and Coondog Day in your summer fun and festival guide.
All of it is right here, starting on page 15 of the summer guide. The very first thing there shows Rhythm and Brews concert tonight, May 16. Shows every Rhythm and Brews concert, excuse me, all through the year. The Monday night live, our famous street dance, all kinds of theater, and all the outdoor recreation as well that we mentioned.
So if you are someone who's a reader of the Lightning, but you only read HennesvilleLightning.com, this is one you need to pick up, because you've got to have the Summer Fun and Festival Guide. You got to keep it on your coffee table all summer long.
Absolutely. As always, if you're only reading HendersonvilleLightning.com, which is the fastest name in media and no doubt has a lot of the news, you're only getting a fraction week in and week out of lots and lots, particularly of community news that is that reader-generated, club-generated, church-generated, school-generated kind of news. So that's all in there, and as you say, as well as special sections like the summer guide that you need to keep on hand to know how to have fun.
There's much more in this week's Lightning. We've only been able to touch on a bit of it, so make sure you pick up your copy. Bill, how do we pick up our copy of the Hendersonville Lightning?
By visiting any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County, or our dealer partners, such as coffee shops and convenience stores, or the Publix supermarket, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says subscribe and joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.